The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We got a great program lined up for you tonight. This is going to be one of those encouraging, equipping messages. Before we get started, please hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. This is going to help us push our material out on these platforms, help others to see our content as well. And of course, I would love for you guys to pick up your free app. It is available today on Apple and Android devices. You simply go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, download our free app, hit yes to push notifications. This is going to ensure you that you see all of our content, our podcast, our prophecy viewpoints, breaking news, all of our headlines, everything is going to be right there at your fingertips. Just pick up the app today. Again, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go. All right, I want you to pull, if you have your Bible, if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Paul is talking about a literal physical race, like you would see a marathon or decathlon or a sprint or a race where in which there is physical runners. They're running to compete for a prize, first place, second place, third place. And this is what he's talking about here. And these are temperate prizes that are earthly rewards here. But he says, watch this. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we, he's talking about the church, he's talking about believers, we are running a race for an imperishable crown. Hallelujah. Come on, verse 26. Therefore, now he's talking about himself here, and he says, therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, listen to what he says here, I myself should become disqualified. So the Apostle Paul here has given us a illustration. We are in this race, and the end game for us, guys, is to obtain an imperishable crown, which is eternal life. Jesus said, even in Matthew 24, he said, those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, look, I know that this can bring us into this whole conversation and this debate on, you know, that you can never backslide or you can never fall away. Guys, the entire Bible, the entire New Testament is filled with examples of individuals that are falling away, that are backsliding, that have loved this. They've turned from the faith and they love this present world. Paul said, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're still in the faith. So I could sit here and talk about this for 30 minutes, but here's the bottom line. Paul is saying here that we're all in a race. We all began in a race, or we will begin in a race, depending on where you are in the race. Some of you, you've been in this race for several weeks, or maybe it's been several months, or maybe it's been others have been in this race for several years. We're all in a race, and our end game, again, is to finish our course and finish the good fight of faith and obtain this imperishable crown, which is eternal life. Now, what's interesting, when you read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is trying to, again, convey to the church the importance of, watch this, to continue to keep your eye on the finish line and finish your race. And he even goes into, and I love how he always uses himself as an example. And he talks about himself and he says, I discipline myself, or I bring myself into subjection to the Spirit. I discipline myself to the point where I'm going to read this from the King James, because I love how it pulls some stuff out here that the New King James doesn't get the verbiage of this. Listen to what he says here. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, I not as one that beats in the air, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Verse 26, Amplified, therefore I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing, but like a boxer, look at this, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. Wow. So for the next few moments, I want to minister to you on how the enemy is waiting for us at the finish line. Let me say that again. How the enemy is waiting for us at the finish line. What are you talking about, Brother Ricky? Listen, after 23 years, going on 24 years, June 2nd will be my 24-year anniversary of serving the Lord. Here's what I've discovered. The enemy, many times, listen, once you get born again, he will allow you, watch this, he will give you some leeway for a momentary lapse. He will give you temporal relief, if you would, as far as the onslaughts, the opposition, the adversity, the attacks. Why? Because it's not, you better hear this. It's not how you start, it's how you finish that matters. Let me say that again. See, because, listen, there's a lot of, and let me go back to what Paul was talking about. He illustrates a race. There, when you watch a race, it's incredible because you'll have, I don't know how, and guys, please, I know somebody's going to correct me on this, but I don't run. I've never been a runner. I don't know how many runners are up in a line, so I'm just going to throw a number out there. I'm sure somebody out there knows the exact number, but let's say there's 8 runners. They're all lined up. Boom, they shoot the gun. They all take off. Many times, just because you see a runner that's way out front, everybody's like, oh, look at that, look at that. He's going to win the race or she's going to win the race. But that's not always the case, because they run out with full exertion, full throttle, foot on the gas, but because they don't pace themselves, a lot of amateurs do this. They make this mistake, whereas the more seasoned runners understand pacing themselves, so they don't come out full throttle, all guns blazing, come on, foot on the gas. They just kind of go halfway out, and then the other racer, the other runner who's way out front all of a sudden starts running out of gas. They start huffing and puffing, and all of a sudden they start losing their lead. And then eventually many times they don't even finish the race. Someone else who comes along who understood, that it's a marathon and not a sprint. I'm going to tell you that too. Let me say that too. Our walk with God, friend, is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And let me explain that. See, when Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, Satan threw his 3-weapon arsenal at him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, by the way, is the same 3 weapons that Satan uses against every one of us as believers. Why does he use these same 3 weapons? Because they've been successful for 2,000 years. So he hurls them at Jesus. He hurls 3 weapons, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can find this in the Gospel of Matthew. I believe it's in Luke as well. I know it's at least 2 of the 4 synoptic gospels. Okay, so here we are. Jesus is being tried or tested with these 3 temptations, these 3 attacks on the enemy. And Jesus understood pacing himself, and he just used the word of God against Satan. Boom, it's written, thou shalt do this. Boom, it's written, thou shalt not do this. Boom, and he attacked him. And the Bible says that after 3 attacks of Satan during a period of 40 days and 40 nights, he left Jesus for a season, or, and one of the gospel writers says he left until he sought a more opportune a time or an opportunity to come and attack Jesus later on. And he did. Okay. So, and then the Bible says he was ministered by angels. So I want to say that, listen, Satan is a fallen angel that is a spirit, and he's been here. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub. He's been here for thousands of years, if not longer. We don't know the exact number. Nobody does. Don't let them tell you that. And I don't want to get into all that, but he was here. Listen, when he fell from heaven, it didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. He had already fallen from heaven, and he went down to earth, and then he tempted Adam and Eve. So we don't know how long that time period is. But don't miss the point. He's been here for thousands of years. So he ain't going nowhere. So he can patiently wait it out and wait to an opportune time for us. Come on, if he sees a weakness in us, a weakness in our ministry, a weakness in our family, a weakness in our personal walk with God, a weakness in our flesh, then he can capitalize on it. So I want to tell you, friend, this walk with God is not a sprint. It is a marathon. And we better get that in our head. So notice here the Apostle Paul, again, he talks about bringing his body into subjection, lest he be disqualified. This is very interesting. Now, I want to get into what triggered this. I remember this is a message, by the way, for some of our partners, a very small handful of our partners, maybe will recognize this message because I preached this way back. I think it was in 2011, maybe. I can't remember the exact time, but it was right after the Boston bombing took place, the terror attack in Boston at the marathon. When I was watching the coverage of this, and if you remember this, the bombs exploded right at the finish line. They had run the entire race, and it blew right at the finish line, and this really leaped out in my spirit, and this is what really kind of inspired this message, and I thought, that's just like the devil, isn't it? You know, you're excited and you're right about to the finish line of this thing. And then an unforeseen attack comes against you. Oh, I'm going to minister to somebody today. I'm going to tell you, listen, when you go into the Bible, you can see this all over the place. In the book of Judges, chapter 13, you learn about the story of Samson. Samson had what was called a Nazarite vow. His vow was to not drink any wine or strong drink. He was not to touch any unclean thing, and no razor would come upon his head. These were the three vows that he had as a Nazarite vow unto God. And his mother made this covenant with the Lord over him, and when she was praying to conceive a child, Samson had a purpose. God raised him up, allowed the Philistines to rule over the Jewish people for over about 40 years because of disobedience. But in the book of Judges, God raised up an individual to deliver the Israelites. This was Samson. Samson was the God's choice to rescue his people. Samson's whole purpose and his destiny was to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Now watch this. So watch, Samson started out, friend, good, running strong, anointed of God, called by God, had a destiny. But in the process of the race, of his race, he got entangled with things that he had no business getting entangled with, and it caused him big problems. All right? Number one, he saw a woman of the daughter of the Philistines. So Samson had a lust problem. And that got him caught up with Delilah, which that ended up causing him to cut his hair and lose his strength. Samson also was tempted by the vineyards. He was not even supposed to go in near a vineyard because of his vow, but he was tempted by that as well. And then on his journey, he saw a corpse of a lion with a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of a lion. That doesn't even make any sense to me, but the Bible says it's there, so I believe it's true, but that's weird and bizarre. But nevertheless, Samson knew he was not supposed to touch any unclean thing or any dead thing, and yet he did. See, he was trying to pull something sweet out of something dead. Oh, and listen, that's a warning to every one of us. All three of these things are warnings. To us. Let me break this down to you. There again, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is just in the story of Samson. Let me make this very applicable and practical to you. This is why, listen, let me go back to the first point. And Samson was messing with Delilah. Samson had a lust problem. That lust problem ended up causing him to be bound, blind, and go round and round and round in circles and never come on. He was running his race strong, but because of his lust problem, he couldn't get the lust under control. He couldn't guard his eyes. He couldn't guard his heart. He couldn't guard his mind. He couldn't keep himself away from women. He gets wrapped up in Delilah. Come on. And he ends up in bondage, loses his anointing, loses his strength, and now he's no longer moving forward, but now he's just spinning his wheels. He's like a vehicle that's stuck in mud and the tires are spinning, but he's not going anywhere. He's not going new. He's not going backwards. He's not going forward. He's just stuck in neutral. And this is, friends, this lust is one of the most powerful weapons that the enemy has in his arsenal. And if you go to the book of Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 6 or somewhere in there, Solomon warns. He warns a generation. He warns his son. Solomon warns in Proverbs chapter 7. He says, don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. This is Proverbs 7, 25 through 27. And all who were slain by her were strong men, and her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. So listen, one of the things that is going to hinder your race quicker than anything is lust. Why do you think Joseph, who, by the way, called by God, anointed by God, given a dream by God, direction by God, shared his dreams with his brothers, with his parents, all of them despised him, rejected him, his brothers turned on him, sold him to slavery, threw him into a pit, cast him into a pit, and then he went into the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife, who was a picture of lust, was after him, pursuing him, attempting to come to ensnare him and trap him. And your Bible says that Joseph threw off his coat and ran and fled and fleed from Potiphar's wife. And this is a picture, it's an illustration, guys, of what we're called to do, because this will ensnare us and entrap us. And number two, Samson was messing around with something he shouldn't have been messing with, and it was called a strong drink. He went into a vineyard. Oh, listen, I know this makes me old school and a dinosaur and out of touch, but this is why I am a teetotaler. It means I don't touch alcohol. My family don't touch it. My wife doesn't drink it. We don't have any alcoholic beverages in our home. I have seen too much. I have observed too many divorces, marital problems, infidelity, adultery, abuse. I've seen all of it. I've known people personally that were killed because of intoxication. Drunk drivers killed them, or they killed somebody else. I was raised in a home with drunkards for 23 years. I was exposed to a stepfather who was an alcoholic. I've been headlong and seen the demons that are attached to this stuff. And I'm telling you, listen, I know some of y'all don't want to hear what I've got to tell you, but I implore you to stay away from this, because it will hinder your race with God. All right, I'm going to move on from that, because that was I gave you some strong warning right there. There's nothing I can add or take away from that, and I don't make any apologies for it. Let me give you number three, again, going back to this illustration. Number three is Samson try to pull something sweet out of something dead. Listen, we cannot expect God's blessings to flow in our life while we're still playing around and messing around with dead things. We cannot continue being yoked with old friends, old lifestyles, old habits. When we said yes to him, those things became dead to us. A man came to Jesus in the Gospels, and he said, when he was telling everybody, follow me, come after me, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. A man showed up to him, and he said, I want to follow you, Lord. And he says, come and follow me. And he says, let me go first and bury my father, and then I will come follow you. Jesus made a profound statement, and he said, let the dead bury the dead, you follow me. Was Jesus being crude? Was he being rude? No, he was. Listen, the point he was making here is that if we go back to dead things, it's going to snare us. It's going to prevent us from moving forward and progressing in our walk with God. Listen, the very moment that we start crossing the bridges that we should have been burning. Oh, there's a word for you. Some of y'all need to burn bridges and stop keeping them afloat. The reason why y'all get in trouble is because you're not burning bridges to your past lifestyle, that old man. You're keeping those bridges afloat. You're keeping a bridge to your old friends. You're keeping a bridge to your old lifestyles. You're keeping a bridge to those old habits. And you have those on standby just in case there's an emergency, in case I'm stressed out, in case I have anxiety. Then I can go back to the cigarettes. Then I can go back to the smoking the weed. Then I can go back to the cocaine. Then I can go back to the bottle. Then I can go back to the affair. I can call up the old girlfriend. I can do this. I can do that. Oh, I come by to tell you today that, come on, you got to stop trying to pull something sweet out of something dead. If it's dead, honey, it's dead, and leave it dead and go forward. Come on. God is in the land of the living and not the dead. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Look what Paul told Timothy. Here's what he says. Let's go to verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How about that message? I'm sure we love that message on a Sunday morning, don't we? I'm sure we're going to turn on Christian television and they're going to tell us that we must endure hardship as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. I don't remember hearing that. I don't hear that ever, hardly anywhere from pulpits, anywhere on Christian television. Why? Because this is not a popular message. But Paul told Timothy, listen, if you're going to finish this race, Timothy, which was his spiritual son, he tells him that he must prepare himself and ready himself to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I love how he said he's a soldier. Come on, we're soldiers. We are the army of God. Is anybody enlisted in the army of God? If you answered yes to that, I want to give you the commandment of Paul in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2. Listen to what he says. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Whoa. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And then look what he says here. Consequently, he says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So again, guys, he is reiterating. Paul is reiterating what he told the church of Corinth. He's telling Timothy what he told the church of Corinth. He's saying, you're in a race, and if you're going to finish this thing and you're going to get your reward and get your crown at the end of this thing, you're going to have to get some thick skin. You're going to have to be immovable. You're going to have to be unoffendable. Come on. You're going to have to be prepared for hardships, trials, and tribulation. Get away from this tickle me Elmo, pink lily, lily-livered, spineless Christianity that's being taught to us behind pulpits. It's a cotton candy gospel. All it does is give you a burst of energy and excitement from all the sugar, but it is not profitable and as far as nutrition goes to your soul and your spirit, man, that you need. Oh, you're not hearing me. It will tickle your emotions. It will give you goosebumply feelings. It will make you shout. It'll make you holler. It'll make you jump. But when you stop shouting and you stop jumping and you stop running around the building and you leave the building, are you equipped thoroughly to deal, come on, with the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the assignments of hell, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and all of these things that come with serving the Lord? I come by to tell somebody today, it's not how you start. It's, come on, talk to me. It's how you finish that matters. See, I don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's devices today. Did you know that Paul said that? Be not ignorant of Satan's devices, okay? If you go back to the story of Exodus 14, when all the judgments began to hit Egypt, and Pharaoh, because remember God said, kept saying, let my people go, and he would not, and then he'd bring another judgment, and then another judgment, and then another judgment, and eventually, with the last judgment of all the male children in Egypt that perished, Pharaoh said, let the people go. He let Israel go, but your Bible says, in Exodus 14:5, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. Listen to this very carefully. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, quote, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them by the camping by the sea beside Pi Haoroth before Baal Zephon. So here's the point I'm making. Watch this. Isn't it amazing? I want to talk to all my seasoned listeners and viewers and believers. You remember when you... there was all hell was trying to prevent you from getting saved. Y'all remember that? At least it was with me. I'm telling you, all kinds of hell broke loose in adversity trying to get me from getting saved. But here's what's extraordinary that I found. Once I got saved, there was a period of time where in which it was like the heavens were constantly open, the blessings of God was flowing like honey. And it's almost like the devil, it was almost like a false sense of security. Like the devil just left me alone for a season. And you almost get this, and again, if you're a baby Christian, you don't know any better, you get this false sense of security, and you kind of get this attitude like, well, look at this, the devil's going to leave me alone, he's not going to attack me anymore, I'm not having any adversity, I'm not having any opposition, I'm not having any trouble. But you know what happens? This will go on for a while, but as you mature in your faith, as you begin to learn to walk with God, as you transition from servanthood to sonship to a soldier. Come on, did you know that? In our walk with God, we go from servants to sons to soldiers. And when we transitioned into this, as we transition, we become more of a grave threat to the kingdom of hell. And you know what happens? The enemy then will begin to pursue us greater than ever. Hey, come on, that's when he turns the heat up. And God will allow adversity to come against us. Why? Because this is where the maturing process is developed. If we never went through adversity, never went through trials, never went through tests, never went through trouble, we would never grow and mature in our faith. So watch this. God permits it and Satan performs it. So here we have the children of Israel who, by the hand of Moses, delivers them out of Egypt. They go out of Egypt. The Bible says they came out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. And they're going through the promised land. They're going into the wilderness, and God is showing up by a cloud by day and a fire by night. He's making water come out of a rock. He's doing all these miracles. And you would think that the children of Israel at that point would be like, you know what? whatever's coming up around the corner, God's got this because of look what he has done. But the moment they heard the hoofbeats of the horses and the chariots and Pharaoh's army, they begin to freak out. They begin to lose their mind. And Moses had to step in by the grace of God and by the power of God and split the Red Sea before them. So listen, I don't know who this is to today, but you're in this race. And if you're a baby, and maybe you're newly into the kingdom of God, you've only been serving the Lord for a couple weeks, a few weeks, or a few months, or maybe just a couple years, and you've not really seen a whole lot of adversity. Friend, listen, I'm not going to water it down for you. You're going to go through seasons of adversity. You're going to go, the enemy is not going to sit back. Listen, we think as we turn up our prayer life, we turn up our intercession, we begin to seek the Lord for believing God for all of our family to be saved and be delivered and be set free from the kingdom of darkness. As we begin to believe him to prosper, believe him to get set free from bondages and addictions, believe him to for our marriages to turn around, for prodigals to come in, for our church to grow, our ministry to begin. As we begin to believe him, as we fast and we pray, I don't know, if we have this conception to think that we're and be so naive to believe that as we step up our game in that area, that the enemy is going to just sit back and not oppose it, not bring adversity to it, then friend, you're not in the same Bible that I am. Even Paul said, a great and effectual door has opened unto me, and with it, much adversity. Oh, who am I talking to today? I'm trying to tell you today, friend, listen, I know you started out strong in this race, but we still got some time to go. We still got to keep pressing forward. Paul said it like this. He said, I put those things behind me. And I want to get back. In fact, I just got to check in my spirit. I'm going to go back to that in just a moment because I'm going to finish with that at the end of this message because there's another group of individuals. As soon as that came out of my mouth, I felt like the Holy Spirit was directing me to those individuals. So I want to talk to you in just a minute. But here's what I want to get to you because we're about 40 minutes into this message. So I want to make sure I get all of this out in my notes here. Remember in Luke 17, Jesus makes a remarkable statement and he says, remember Lot's wife. Of all the people in the entire Old Testament that he could reference, because remember the New Testament was being written as it was written. So there was no point of reference for that. So Jesus would always speak of stories pertaining to the Torah, the law, the prophets. So he brings up this point that's very interesting, and he tells his disciples, remember Lot's wife. Now, why did he say that? I believe, listen, when you go back to Genesis 19 and Lot was instructed and warned by the angels of God to hurry up and get everyone out of your bloodline and get them out of the cities of the plains, because judgment was coming, the wrath of God was coming and falling on the cities of the plains for the abominations that was taking place there. In that process of doing that, Lot's wife turned and looked back. I believe, listen, right before many people get to the finish line, whatever that looks like, that finish line could be that trumpet blasting and that eastern sky splitting, or it could be you finishing your race where you, come on, you expire in your flesh, whatever your finish line looks like. But there's going to be many people right before they get to that finish line, they're going to look back. They're going to look back to those pleasures, look back to that bondage, look back to those relationships, look back, come on, look back to that bridge that they should have burned. Instead, they left it afloat, and now it will become a snare to them. And I believe that's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Guys, I'm almost done here, I promise. Let me give you some more points here. This is a really quippy message tonight. Therefore, listen, this is in Hebrews 12. This is what the author of Hebrews says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, and by the way, in the Greek here, when he says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you got to read Hebrews 11 and you'll get the context of Hebrews 12. He's talking about the saints that have gone on before us that are in paradise already waiting for their imperishable crown that will be given on that day. And he says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So look what he says here. He references a weight and the sin. I've taught on this before. What are weights that weigh us down? Worry, anxiety, fear, doubt, unbelief, bitterness, anxiety. I mean, the list goes on. These are weights. What heaviness? It's like a heaviness. It's like an oppression, depression. Weights that weigh us down. Then he says, and the sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. James tells us that every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. Every single individual under the sound of my voice, watching and listening, you have a sin. Now, you may have sin, but you have the sin. You have the one thing. For some, it's anger. For some, it's unforgiveness. For some, it's greed. For some, it's pride. For some, it's lust. Whatever it is, every man is drawn away by his own lust. And this is why Paul was the author of Hebrews. He says, we have got to deal with that one sin. Why? Because he tells us, friends, that we are in a race and this will ensnare us and it will keep us from finishing our race and come on and finishing the faith that we've began. So here, I'm going to bring this thing around full circle, and because we're right here closing this podcast tonight. The enemy has an assignment to keep us from finishing our race, and he uses persecution, accusations, false accusations, bondages, weaknesses, trials of life, family, friends, influence. He will try to ruin your reputation. He uses sickness, infirmity, a lot of these. All these things, guys, can stop us in our tracks and prevent us from finishing our race and getting over that finish line. Again, why do you think Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, here's what's interesting. When Paul gets to the end of his race, when he gets to the end of his life, listen what he says here. I want to pull this up. Philippians chapter 3. Let me go to verse 13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Listen what he said. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Then he gets to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 6, 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Listen what he says. This is his account that he gives. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Look at verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Listen to me. I need your attention right here. I don't know where you're at today in your walk with God. I don't know where you started. I don't know how long it's been, but we're all in this race together. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling us today through this word today, through this message, for the last 45, 50, 55 minutes, I believe the Lord is charging us to evaluate our race that we're running. Is there, come on, can you look, can you examine your own heart? Can you take a moment just to bow your head, close your eyes, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, is there weights and the sin that's hindering your race? What is it that can keep you from reaching that finish line? But listen, the bad news is there's going to be a lot of people that's going to say, Brother Ricky, there's weights that are weighing me down. I'm losing sleep over them. I have anxiety over it. I have worries over it. I have fears over it. And it's really keeping me from having a really effective and impactful prayer life. It's keeping me out of the Word of God. It's keeping me out of the house of God. These worries, these fears, these weights. But then you say, well, and I also have these sin. This sin is keeping me where I don't have confidence in my prayers. I don't have confidence in my walk with God. I'm walking in shame. I'm walking in doubt. I'm walking in all these things. Listen, the bad news is there's going to be a lot of people checking that box. But the good news is, come on, the Bible says if any man shall profess his sins, if he confesses his faults, his sins to the Lord, then the Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And this enables us to be like Paul and say, I don't count myself to apprehended it, but the one thing I do is forget those things that are behind me and press towards the high call for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I don't know who this is for today. If you're watching, you're listening, I'm going to pray with you today. And I believe with all my heart that as you be obedient to the Spirit of God and begin to lay some things down today, you can be assured that you are, listen, he's not looking for perfection. Even Paul said that I don't count myself to apprehend it. But I'm gonna forget those things behind me. Those things are they're under the blood. Those things are under the blood, and I'm going to be pressing on today. Well, come on, what is it that you need to put under the blood today? You can put it under the blood today, and you can press on and finish your race today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, everyone watching, everyone listening today, all of us. Lord, I lift up myself and everyone included in this podcast today. God, I know that there is things in my own life. There are small foxes that try to spoil the vine. I know that there may not be. Lord, we as humans, we try to rank sins. We try to put this sin above that sin and its severity, and this one below this sin because it's not as severe. But Lord, we know that the Bible talks, it doesn't really do this in the Word. It talks about sin, all sin. All sin is unrighteousness. All sin is iniquity, and it's trespassing against the Lord. And Father, we don't boast on these things, and we refuse to allow grace to be taken advantage of. And we ask that grace be applied to us and mercy to us so that we can be as Paul and put those things under the blood and behind us. And thank God, Lord, we may not be where we want to be today, but I thank God today that we're not where we used to be. So we choose to move forward today. Lord, we repent. We repent of lukewarm living. We repent of any weights that we, instead of laying them aside, we have chosen to carry these weights. We were never created to be a burden carrier. Your word says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he is able to sustain us. So Lord, we lay those weights to you. Lord, we're laying down fear. We lay down anxiety. We lay down oppression. We lay down heaviness. We're giving it. We're laying it at your feet today. We're laying down the uncertainties. We're laying down everything that is weighing us down and hindering our race. And Father, we ask today that you would give us victory over the sin in our life. Whatever that is, Lord, help us to get victory over it. Help us to put on the armor of God. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to crucify it. Help us to put to death the mortal deeds of the flesh. Put it under the blood and press forward and towards the mark and press towards, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, so that we can finish our race. Because, Lord, we don't want to be, as Paul said, disqualified, but we want to get our foot over that finish line, enter in to, come on, the kingdom of heaven, and receive that crown of righteousness, that eternal, imperishable crown that is laid up for us in heaven. And we pray this today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, I pray that this message has blessed you, encouraged you, and equipped you. Again, I want to encourage you to download our free app. This is how you keep up with our ministry, podcast, everything. Apple, Android Store, get yours today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. And of course, if this ministry has blessed you, equips you, encourages you week after week, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the main website, or right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, that's for checks or money order. So we appreciate you guys. We thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. We are going to sign off for tonight, and we'll be right back here with another great podcast, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.